Slap of the bass.
Slap of the bass.
Hello, it's Absolute Cuts. We've got an absolute belter for you.
Oh, yeah, big one.
Today. You're really ripping these fucking cargo pants.
These are just a pair of cheap cargo pants I got on Vinted.
Yeah.
They're like day wear.
Why do you think they're called cargo pants?
I don't know.
Think, because cargo would suggest carrying something. So because you've got a shitload of pockets,
okay,
you now are considered cargo.
You're
that's my theory.
I thought you
might not be. But
I thought you're going to, like, because you're carrying the fucking HIV virus or something. Is where I thought you were going to go with that.
And a classic Cullen jumper as well.
Your classic, yeah. I got a hat as well this time, but if not wearing a hat.
Yeah, very nice. Super Bowl night tonight.
Super Bowl, yeah.
We've just been talking about Usher doing the halftime show.
Yeah, because you're going to get this after the Super Bowl is over, but we're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday.
It's one of those things that you realise how shite music is now. I notice it by who they get to headline, and this isn't like a proper old man fucking.
I do get it.
Festival lineups aren't the same as me. There just aren't that many bands that can headline festivals now because they don't have the back catalogue for.
Yeah.
So the Super Bowl, like, where do they? Because I remember like the great days of the Super Bowl where they had like fucking Prince, McCartney, The Stones, The Who, and then. You then go, right, okay, Katy Perry.
That was good.
That was good.
That was great.
Was all right.
Katy Perry's one was class.
Was all right.
Hey?
J-Lo.
Yeah.
Did she do it? Shakira?
Yeah, she did it with J-Lo.
J-Lo. And then Bruno Mars.
You had the Eminem Dre one. That was good.
That was great. That was excellent.
Now, the Missy Elliott popped up in a few. She popped up in that one. She popped up in the Katy Perry one. Yes, Bruno Mars, dreadful.
The Maroon 5, good God.
The worst is still yet to be mentioned. The Weeknd.
Oh, fuck, yes.
The Weeknd was so crap.
The Weeknd, who, as far as I am concerned, only has one song.
Yeah.
Which is a good song. I like Blinded by the Light. But, see it. And this is what I mean. Like, where do they go from here? Who the fuck are they? Because I could think Taylor Swift will do it.
Yeah, I think they've tried and she turned the downloads.
She couldn't really do it this year. It would look like too much of a homer this year.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus, she done it?
No, I feel like she should.
She could do
it. I like Miley Cyrus.
Who? Beyonce's done it.
Beyonce's done it, yeah. Rihanna's done it.
Rihanna's done it.
She done Heavily Pregnant.
Any British bands aren't big enough over there.
What do you think would be like one of the most anti-climate, a weird, how about Keane? Keane did the Super Bowl.
That's excellent.
People are like, what?
But then, why? Metallica have never done it.
Nah.
Metallica could do it.
Oh, yes, they could.
Has Aerosmith, well, in today's film, has Aerosmith done it?
Don't know.
They could do it.
You could say Lenny Kravitz did it.
Like Green Day, they could do it.
Oh, God, I would hate that. Did Green Day do it?
I don't think Green Day did it.
Nah, they wouldn't have.
Green Day could do it. So there are bands that could do it. I'm surprised Metallica have never done it. I'm surprised Guns N' Roses have never done it.
Yeah, it feels like something they would do. Big Washington Redskins jumpers on them.
Oh, yeah. Or do you remember when Slash's other band, Stone Temple Pilots...
Was Slash and Stone Temple Pilots?
No, not Stone, not Fucks, no.
That was
Velvet Revolver.
I remember Velvet
but
Revolver.
But it was the singer from Stone Temple Pilots, Scott Weiland.
Oh, was it?
Right, so it was like a super group. It's okay. The way...
I remember Velvet
Revolver. Velvet Revolver, they're really good. And because they did...
They were like the Eagles of Death Metal were the ones after.
Yeah.
The other kind of super group.
Yeah, they were another super group. And them Crooked Vultures were a super group because they had Dave Grohl and...
Who was the one?
Your man, Josh Homme. Cornell.
Which one was Cornell?
So Cornell was in a was their name? It was in with Tom Morello from Rage.
What was that?
It was basically Rage, but with Chris Cornell as their Chris. What were they called? That's fucking terrible.
Super. Oh God.
Oh, I need to find
that. I'm just thinking of Soundgarden.
I need to find this out. This is the memory that. It's proper just shite in my... Yeah. Audio Slave, of course.
Audio Slave. Yeah,
they did Cochise.
I was like, super song. Audio Slave, yes, that's
but
it.
Scott Weiland from... Stone Temple Pilots? I think so. I better check that as well, because that'll really piss me off. He, when he was in Velvet Revolver, he had a penchant for a... Yes, Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver, yeah. He had a penchant for a Nazi memorabilia.
Scott?
Yes. He used to wear quite a lot of SS-style caps.
Okay. Yeah. Right, so you're on to that. He was...
Yeah.
Nobody's
I'm not saying he was a Nazi, because like...
Yeah, but this is like, this is exactly like that sketch in Father Ted.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, ah, have you got anything from the Allied side? Ah, that yeah. wouldn't interest me at all.
Scott Whelan, Nazi. Yeah. Scott Whelan, the former Stone Temple pilot who teamed up with some excellent Guns N' Roses members to form Velvet Revolver, recently had to make it clear to his record company that in no way, shape or form am I a Nazi. Confusion arose during the band's current tour when he took to the stage every night dressed like an SS officer. I mean, you can see the confusion here, Scott.
Big KK, you're first. Yeah. I'd just like to say...
I am no racist.
I'm not racist. They're just, I love the cloths.
It's burning across. Yeah. I just want you to know...
If somebody, if Sony, if anyone from Sony Records is in...
So I'll tell you my racist story now.
Yes. I got a message from you last night saying, oh my God, I have something to tell you tomorrow.
Yes. So unintended racism.
Okay.
Right. And well, I don't even know. That's how I chose to describe it to you. I don't know how to describe it. What happened was me and Amy and the kids were sitting watching the new Gladiators last night because I had like a Saturday night off. Have you seen the new Gladiators?
No.
It's awesome.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I don't know if you were a fan of
I watched it, but no.
I
barely remember it.
Loved the Gladiators when I was young, right? Yeah. Because it was like, I think it's a great show for a start. And the women in it at that age, like Jet from the Gladiators was literally, like for about a year, everything to me and my pals. They were like, this is the greatest person we have ever seen in our fucking life.
Jet,
right? And so the new Gladiator is really, really good.
Yeah.
And it made me realise I find muscly women quite hot.
Okay.
Which is, I never thought I did. Because I remember...
You just put the pieces together.
Well, Amy was kind of saying to me, there's two of them. There's a chick called Sabre, who's Scottish, and then a chick called Diamond, right? And that she's quite muscly, Diamond. She's got big arms. And Amy was like, kind of said to me, she was like, oh God, I don't find that. That looks not attractive at all, is it? And I went, no, no, not at all. When I'm fucking got about 9 pillows on my fucking lap. Like, I can't wait for you to leave so I can fucking rip the heat off it to this.
The Gladiators.
So 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening entertainment. Wish Baywatch was on before this.
God.
So anyway, we're watching the Gladiators. And then after it, I went through and on my phone, there was 2 text messages. First of all, there was a text message from my bank, right? Saying that we think there's been fraudulent activity on your account.
Okay.
We're going to send you a message from this number and a message from this number detailing the different transactions, right? So there's various. There was in total, there was £3,000 attempted to be spent on my card.
Okay.
Right. To some shit I'd never fucking heard of. Most of it I'd never heard of. £1,000 to Friends of the Earth.
What? Okay.
So, a charitable fraudster.
That's right? So funny.
So it said, if you do not recognise these transactions, please reply N. If you do recognise them, please reply Y. I reply N. I immediately get a phone call from an 0800 number. From the Royal Bank of Scotland, right? Now, so I'm at this point, I'm fucking panicked. So I'm speaking to this guy on the phone, this guy George. Right? I'm speaking away to him. He's going through all the various transactions. Says, do you recognise this? No. Do you recognise this? No, 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 no. Amy's got wind of what's going on, right? Because the kids are pissing about. So I'm going, right, you need to keep it down because I'm on the phone to the bank here. And she's like, what the fuck are you on the phone to the bank at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night for? So... She comes through and she says, did you phone them? And I was like, no, they phoned me. And she was like, right, this is because this has happened to a friend of hers, but it was exactly the same thing. She'd received text messages because they were coming from the exact number that Royal Bank of Scotland I have on my phone.
Okay.
So I've received text messages. Like, when I've paid someone or if I've set up a new payee.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when I gave you money for... No. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I gave you money for, like, fantasy football.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, the hush money.
When I remember the hush money,
yes. It said Ryan Cullen has been set up as a new PE, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same, exactly the same number. So she's like, that. This happened to my friend. Like, it was exactly the same numbers. I recognize the number. They phoned you. You should always phone your bank first, because then at least you know you're phoning them and you don't know who the fuck is. So I was like, oh shit, fuck, I've already started giving this guy details of stuff, right? So I hang up, right? Then I'm looking for the bank number. This guy phones back from a no-caller ID, right? And he's like, hi, I think we got cut off there. And I'm like, yeah, I don't trust this as my bank, so I'm going to phone the bank back, right? And he goes, no, right? So I hang up, find the bank number, eventually get through to this woman. And I explained to her, I'm like, look, I've had these text messages, £3,000 I've tried to take out my account. I then got a phone call from a number I didn't recognize, said it was the bank. I am just unsure if it was the bank or not. She says, right, okay, let me check that. So she said, right, okay, your account's locked just now because someone else is looking at it, which indicates it might have been the bank. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. And she says, right, I'm seeing it now. I can get back into your account. It was my colleague, George, that phoned you. And I went, yeah, I just wasn't sure whether he was legit or not. And she went, yeah, I totally understand. He is one of our multinational callers. And the accent can be hard to understand. So I'm going, no, it's not. I wasn't saying, oh, because it was the accent that I didn't trust them. I was saying it was because someone had phoned me claiming to the bank.
That's so funny.
And everyone says, yeah, no. And she was like, no, listen, I absolutely understand. And then she goes, some of us in here struggle to understand. And I'm like, no, don't fucking embroil me in this. So she's now painted me as being a person that's gone, listen here, Royal Bank, I've had some fucking Nigerian prince on the phone here trying to get my bank details. Is this one of yours or is it? And I'm like, no. I phoned because I'm not racist. I'm not phoning.
That's so good.
I'm not phoning because of the accent.
I'm not a racist.
And then I'm like, look, Tammy, I was like, this is your fucking fault. You made me phone, but you made me distrust this guy. And she was like, I didn't know he wasn't from this country. And I'm like, no, but why would I tell you that anyway?
Yeah.
So
then
she says, she eventually goes through, and then this was one of the worst parts of it was, she went through all the transactions going, do you recognise this? No. And she was like, right, I need to read out some that you do recognize, right? So I was like, right. So she says, so I'll just go through what you did on Saturday afternoon. Now, Isla was away out at a birthday thing, a day out with her pals. So I was with Seamus, right? So I took him bowling, and then we went to. So she says, right, okay. It says here you spent £26 at McDonald's. Yep. £17 in KFC. Yep. £13 in Big Licks ice cream. And I'm like, seriously, can you not pick one that doesn't make me look like a fat cunt here? Like, I was with my son that day, right? I was taking my son. I was just a racist man taking his son out for a day out. And we ate a lot of shit, right? But it made me sound like spend money on food, you fat racist bastard.
That's so good. They have you just been as a big fat racist.
Oh, my God. That's how I went to bed.
That's so good.
It's just a big fat racist.
Says here you bought a lot of tree rope. A lot of tree rope.
We've got gasoline here, tree rope, and Egyptian cotton sheets. What is?
And scissors.
Apparently it says, is it fried chicken and a fishing rod? What is that?
Oh, God. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, that's so funny. They're just like, he's one of our... You always know when they say multinational. The worst one is when you call someone an ethnic.
Yeah.
Do you know it's never going to be good when it says he's one of our ethnics?
Oh, my God.
Or my favorite is Arab.
Arab?
He's an Arab. And I'm like, it's never a good.
Arab.
It's never good. You know it's never going to be good if they call it an Arab or a Muslim.
When a Muslim?
M-O-S-L-E-M online.
He's a Muslim.
One of them Muslims. And you're like, oh, God, Jesus.
Oh. So anyway, that was my relaxing Saturday evening.
Yeah, big racist fat bastard Saturday.
For fuck's sake, honestly.
You're one evening off trying to wank to the gladiators.
Couldn't have picked anything. Like, yeah. I'm trying to claim. I'm actually a very good husband and father. I have been sitting trying to shield a boner watching the gladiators this evening.
And then she's just sitting there. That's all very well, Mark. So big Shmoo-moo's ice cream dump truck, £49. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. And your subscription to Large, you like.
Muscle Bound Bitches, the magazine. Big muscly bitches.
Can I just also say, I said wrong, muscly. They are athletic.
Yes, yeah.
They're not like fucking beasts. Yeah. They are athletic women. They are women who take care of themselves.
Yes.
And I think that's the attraction, because I do not take care of myself.
Okay. No, I get it.
I would enjoy being thrown around the room by one of these women. Like, oh, honestly, like a fucking... like
ragdoll.
Like a proper wet tracksuit. If she just fucking kicked me... If Sabre kicked me about the place, I would be, honest to God, I don't think... If I did that dual pugil stick thing and she hammered the shite out of me, I don't think I would ever come as hard.
Like, on the way
down off the podium, I would be jizzing everywhere.
But like,
it would be like the Bellagio fountain, just spraying over the audience.
If you went face down, you wouldn't hit the floor.
No. Bradley Walsh would get to me, and I'd be like fucking E.T. at the end. I'd just be drained of every drop of spunk I have in my body.
Stephen Hawking.
Yes, I would be.
We throw back to the Stephen Hawking. I have nothing left.
I am dry as a bone.
Extracted so much cum. Fucking hell.
Oh, right. Do you want to do the film?
All right, we may as well. We'll have plenty to fucking talk about in this one, don't we? So, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, this one was your choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I have a soft spot for this film.
I do too.
Even though it is utter rubbish.
Yeah, I enjoyed it again, but terrible.
It's Armageddon.
Yeah.
Michael Bay's Armageddon. So Bay...
It's the movie that the Core wanted to be. Remember when we did the Core?
Yes, absolutely is.
The copy ripoff of it.
Michael Bay is... I didn't realise he's in this film. He's in it as like a scientist at one point.
Oh, I don't know what he looks like.
Well, at one point he appears.
Oh, do you know what he looks like, actually?
With a lab coat on. He looks exactly like you would imagine he looks.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He's got a big American face.
Scraggly.
A jaw. And he's got long, well, not long, but kind of bouffant, wavy black hair. Right? And a big, obviously a cocaine nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this man has done more coke than...
Yeah, yeah. What else would
Pacino at the end of Scarface. This is...
Yeah.
This is a coke-filled... film, if ever I saw one.
Like I think he's done like 3 films out of 30 that were good.
And I think they were all in a row. Bad Boys.
Yeah.
That was his first. Then he did The Rock.
Okay, yeah.
Then he did this.
Okay, that's it.
Can you think of it? Like, because after this,
it's Pain and Gain.
Pearl Harbor.
Oh, Pearl Harbor. I didn't even know he did that.
Dog shit. Pain and Gain, I've never seen. Shocking. With The Rock.
So bad.
And then he starts Transformers.
Aye. And then he did things like Six Underground and...
Oh, God, yeah.
Fucking crap. Like, he does, like, most of his films have, like, one scene that you're like, okay, that looks cool, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just CGI to fuck.
Yeah.
95% of Michael Bay's budgets goes towards Dynamite.
Yes. Yes.
And CGI.
Yeah. I read a thing that he was... He basically, in this film, because Disney made this.
Right.
Disney made this... And it's like, costs a lot of money, this film.
Oh, I'd say so.
Because, right, and there's a bit where, we'll talk about this scene, with a bit where Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler are possibly having the most uncomfortable love scene I have ever seen in my life.
Is this the gazelle?
Yes.
Chatting about her fanny, like it's the Serengeti.
But then it pans up and just, the camera just stays on a BMW for ages. Right, just the sun glistening off this BMW. And Bay basically just went to BMW, went, we'll stick a car in the film for like 10 seconds if you give us a shitload more money. Do you know that the space shuttles, they launched those shuttles. They're actual shuttle launches. They aren't like stock footage. They didn't go to NASA and said, listen, have you got any shuttle footage that we could just clip it? He went and went, no, I want to launch two fucking shuttles.
Well, fair play to him, I say.
Realistic to the nth degree, I'm going to launch two shuttles, which I don't know what a shuttle launch will cost, but I imagine it's hundreds of millions.
I feel like it.
The fuel alone.
The fuel would be a fair fucking whack, yeah.
Because it's not just the fuel. You need to hire the ground crew.
Yeah, the whole,
you surely need to get all the infrastructure. But then once it's in the air, you then need to get the folk to retrieve it coming back. The thing's going to burn up, surely.
Yeah, yeah, or something, whatever, yeah.
It's not, I mean, it maybe not, it's not going to go up far enough.
Yeah.
That it will, but shit's falling off it.
Hit the Twin Towers.
Has he had to pay for aircraft? Two shuttles?
That's such a Michael Bay thing to do. Isn't it? Insane. That egg is such a fucking Michael Bay thing to do.
Do you want another Michael Bay thing he did?
Okay.
Affleck.
Okay.
Right? If you look at Affleck's teeth.
Yeah.
In this compared to pre-Armageddon Affleck.
Okay.
In this film, he has massive, straight, American white hero teeth.
Okay.
He didn't have them before.
But so Michael
Bay spent $20,000 on getting because he wanted Affleck to be like the focal American hero in it. He was like, you don't have hero enough teeth, so I'm gonna get you $20,000 worth of teeth. And Affleck's had them ever since.
That's
so fucking insane.
Imagine that. Me running with Michael Bay, we'll be doing well.
This is all I need.
We just mean to get a Michael Bay film.
I need to get if I can get a Transformers film, I can get my teeth completely fixed.
You can, who's in Transformers anymore? I don't
know. Oh, there's fucking mental people in, like, Stanley Tucci's and John Turturro's in Transformers.
I've seen some of the John Turturro ones and Stanley Tucci, in fairness. I didn't know they were still going.
It's now they've started doing the Dinobots. So the robot dinosaurs.
Any singer's dead? Oh, no, it's not.
Who?
I thought a singer was dead. It was a masked singer was unreeled. For some reason, they thought. The news was like, you need this notification.
Who was unveiled as a masked singer?
I don't know. Somebody in the Eiffel Tower. Somebody was dressed as... I turned off the fucking...
Somebody was dressed as the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, an 80s pop legend has been revealed as the Eiffel Tower on the masked singer.
Right.
She was amazing. Chernobyl's...
It's a she.
Chernobyl mutants...
Cyndi Lauper.
You think it's Cyndi?
Cyndi Lauper or Toya Wilcox? Right. Annie Lennox. Gloria Estefan.
What the fuck? What? Eiffel Tower is revealed as 80s pipe art. Tiffany?
Tiffany, yeah. I think we're alone now. Tiffany.
Oh, that's her, yeah. Tiffany. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was very anticlimactic, but...
Yeah. What a segue that was.
I know. I just got a Met Fisher's and I went, oh, do we have a live death?
Oh, that'd be good. Oh, we need to get one.
We need a live death. I
think that's all the Bayisms that I can...
Bayisms?
The Bayisms.
Michael Bay.
That I could think of.
Yeah.
Just an insane human being.
He's clearly... Everything's at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you'll never make a man that will, like, make a more shallower character. Like,
no.
None of his films have any character. They have no depth. Even Bad Boys, they have no depth, but it's good because they have no depth. It only works in that because it's
God, yeah.
It only works because of that. But he keeps redoing it, and you're just like... And he has the slow motion shot, but it gets more and more tacky every time I see it.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool in Bad Boys 2, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
Bad
yeah,
Boys
yeah.
1, was it, when the plane's going over? But
There's a cool slow motion shot in this when they're walking to the shuttles.
Oh, right.
I like a slow motion shot.
So we all like a slow
motion shot. The Reservoir Dogs slow motion shot is cool as fuck.
It's not as good as the dart scene in Old School.
No, it's not. No.
Well, fuck darting, Rick. don't start me on it.
So if you haven't seen this film, the basic premise is there's kind of two films in this.
Yes.
Where there's a meteor hurtling towards Earth, a meteor the size of Texas.
Yeah, they are.
As Billy Bob Thornton
yes,
informs us.
Yeah, he was very scientific.
Yeah.
especially the part where he took out the globe.
Yes.
And he went, oh, this isn't the actual size. to a load of people. Yeah, I reckon that wasn't the actual world.
Yeah.
He didn't even kind of do it enough in a joke way.
Yeah.
That it landed. And yeah. I was just like.
He's very final with these. Well, I like when he's telling the president about, the president kind of goes, so what are we dealing with here? And he's like, it's what we call an end. But he basically says like something like an end of lifer. He's like, nothing will survive.
Yeah.
Not even bacteria.
Yeah, like, not even bacteria. Like,
literally, this is as bad as it's ever going to get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're in a real pickle.
Yeah. So it's hurtling towards Earth. The reason they know it's hurtling towards Earth is because at the start, smaller bits of it break off and destroy New York.
Yes, but yeah.
Yeah. And what I don't get, right, is they keep the fact that there's a meteor coming secret until is it Shanghai or is it somewhere in China gets fucking blown to bits as well.
Oh, yeah, they wiped out somewhere. Yeah.
Aye. You can tell it's China because there's a lot of people eating from bowls.
And Jesus Christ, he loves this type of shit. Oh. Like, was it when they complete the mission? It's outside the Taj Mahal.
Oh, it's amazing.
And there's a lot of Indians doing a Mexican wave.
Absolutely amazing. When the symbolism of the different countries.
Oh God.
Do you know they go to Ireland at one point and how they depict Ireland? So no. It just comes up in the bottom, Ireland, right? And it's a guy running across a field chasing sheep.
Fuck off.
The bit in Paris is just a load of guys in a cafe drinking coffee on scooters. that's Paris.
Yeah,
that's Paris nailed.
Bangkok. It's just an English tourist.
Just
hammering the child.
Here's Egypt, just by the pyramids, load of cunts doing that.
But there were so many. By the way, after the third montage in the film, I was like, get them to space now.
Yeah.
There was three montages.
Yeah.
They did that real tacky FBI.
Yes.
Gathering the
oh, crew. I love that.
I love it, but like there was three of them.
The way they capture them.
Let's go back there. We'll go back to that. Right. You're talking about the comet hitting
New York. The comet hits New York, right? They try and keep it secret. Why at no point, if comets have destroyed New York, and also comets never hit suburban areas.
Yeah, yeah.
Comets have an incredible knack for lasering in on landmarks.
Yeah, yeah.
The fucking...
Oh, that's right. The chances of just
clipping the fucking... The Empire State Building goes down. Grand Central Station goes down. And you're like, seriously? That none of this happened in the countryside?
None of them had a shoe?
New Jersey didn't get fucking nothing? No? Just always the landmarks? Yeah.
Great.
And then but it's never meant that the world just goes back to normal.
By the way, a guy in that scene survived being hit by a comet. Like, literally, he was beefing.
Yeah. So did his dog.
Bad time to get hit by beefing about his dog. Bad time to be literally hit by a comet. But he blows through the window and then he gets up and you're like, kill him.
Do you know why that scene's in?
Why?
So this is the same year that Roland Emmerich released Godzilla.
Okay.
And it was going to be the other big budget film.
Okay.
And Michael Bay put that scene in just so he could have a wee diss at Godzilla, because the dog attacks a load of Godzilla toys.
No!
And the god's just ripping the shit out of a Godzilla toy. That's literally the only reason he put it in.
Oh, well, I like that level of just absolute pettiness for no reason.
A bit of smack talk at the start of your film. A
bit of smack talk in the film. That's fucking amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't even fucking put that together.
But I just found it amazing that no one ever questioned that again. No one was ever questioning the fact that New York was destroyed by a shitload of comets. Life just went back to normal.
Just a wee shower.
Until the president who delivers the news that the world's going to end in the worst possible way. he starts...
Panic.
He doesn't even start by going, this is the president of the United States. His first line of his speech is, the Bible calls this day Armageddon. What?
We don't want to tell anyone in case it causes panic. And then comes out with the greatest, it is the end of days.
He might Swiller delivered Samuel L. Jackson's speech from Pulp Fiction. It's so dark.
This is fucking Trump.
Oh, my God.
He's in charge for an Armageddon.
I on another podcast ages ago, it was an article I read.
Yeah.
And I was reading about this film. Someone suggested, and I think it's an amazing suggestion, that see how so many disaster films came out around this time?
Yeah.
So Independence Day was just before this, that was before it. And then you had Deep Impact and all that kind of shit. Someone argued that it should have been the same president for all of them, right? So you hire one actor, name actor, right? So they suggested Pullman from Independence Day because he
came into my head.
And then he's just the president for all of these films. He gets the full term that they would get.
Yeah.
And he's getting reelected.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no chance after Independence Day having flown a jet that helped destroy the aliens. He's getting re-elected. No one's even standing against him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting re-elected. So then he's got another 4 years term, which brings him into Deep Impact, into Armageddon.
Great. Yeah, yeah.
What else? What other disaster films were there?
Greenland.
Even the Core. He would be the president in that. I think it's a great idea.
It would work. It has to be Bill Pullman, though. You've already put that. You just said the name there, and I went, right, it has to be him, though. He was the better.
Yeah.
You know, of the president.
Which is a shame for Deep Impact, who is...
Great film.
What's... Oh, for fuck's sake, this is terrible.
I can't remember.
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, Morgie.
Morgan Freeman. Morgie! See, he's the president in Deep Impact.
Yeah.
The president here, I don't know who the hell that is.
No. Absolutely it wasn't no too, but it was because most of it came through as like advisors than the halfway through the film.
Yeah.
Do you know when that dog was walking, by the way, the other guy's talking, but it looked like the dog was talking in the scene. Did you notice that?
No.
So, you know, I zoomed into the dog, first of all, walking close to the thing, but the other guy's chatting, but you don't see him.
Right.
So if you just catch it wrong like I did, it just looked like there was a talking dog scene. It was the dog was walking. I went, I don't remember. Oh, right, sorry. Like, for a moment, I went, I remember a talking dog.
But that's the fact that it's a Michael Bay film. You go, that's plausible.
Aye, that's like, that's the problem. You're just
every
like,
chance yeah, it would be talking dog.
What is that? The guy also spotted the comet coming.
Yeah.
I want to call, get me the fucking phone book. Real abusive. I want to call it Dottie after my wife.
She's a, what is it? She's a life-sucking bitch as well. Like, what? Jesus Christ.
Like any hatred.
He fucking yells at her. He comes in and goes, she says something stupid like, your dinner's been on the table for 10 hours.
You go,
why are you only telling him now? Why 10 hours?
It's nice and fucking dry. You little
Get my fucking book.
Yeah.
Get my fucking comic book. And then he phones him. So is it true that whoever discovered the comet gets to name it? Yeah, that's right, sir. I'd like to name it after my wife. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, she's a life-sucking bitch as well.
Oh, my God. Totally. I was like, what the fuck? What was that? Do you know as well? Do you know what's a good thing? When the comet started hitting New York, someone goes, you know, it was such a bad scene. Someone called 911.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Just like, aye, aye. With a fucking
we'll deal with this.
Yeah, yeah. Tsunami coming towards your house. You're wearing.
Get the Coast Guard.
Yes. Somebody ringing out a fire ambulance. I feel like they would be better equipped. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Someone called 911.
Did you just say someone ring a fire ambulance?
It's fire ambulance. they should all be in one van. Tell me it's ambulances, fire, and the police should all be in one van.
So they calculate that they've got 18 days before this thing hits the earth and destroys everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
They introduce
the only people capable in the entire world.
Blokes.
There's no contingency for this at all. Hmm. NASA have never even contemplated a comet happening.
There is no plan.
There's no plan A, there's no plan B.
And the first thing they do is rule out astronauts.
Yeah. You can't, no. Drillers. Drillers is what you need. And not just drillers, proper piece of shit.
Yeah.
Hard, rough neck.
They introduced him, Bruce Willis's character, where he is pinging golf balls onto a Greenpeace boat. Just full on driver.
He is. Yeah, he's just hitting golf balls at
like a love oil.
Environmental protesters.
Yeah. That's it. Introduction.
And you might think that's the maddest bit of Bruce Willis's introduction. Oh, good God, no. Because the next scene, he walks in on who's his second in command, who's Affleck.
Yeah.
And he's got his golf, so he's still got his driver.
Yeah.
And then he realizes Affleck is with a lady.
Yep.
He lifts up the covers and it's Liv Tyler, Bruce Willis's daughter in the film. He's like, put your clothes on, I'll be back in a second. And then finds a shotgun.
Yes, and tries to...
There
was a mass shooting.
Yeah. A roundabout, oil tanks.
Yeah.
On an oil rig. Which I can't think of many more dangerous places to willy-nilly fire shot.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
About.
Yeah, yeah. China shop.
So that's mental.
Yeah, he literally just try to kill him. It's not like warning shots.
He
ducks.
Yeah, he is actually trying to murder him.
Yeah, yeah.
In front of...
everyone.
Investors.
Oh, that's right.
Japanese investors who have just arrived by helicopter.
I forgot about that. I forgot about the Japanese investors watching it all.
And then Liv Tyler is walking behind him, and he says, I told you I never wanted you to date any of the riggers. And you go, well, why the fuck is she on the rig?
It's so funny.
Why would you...
that's all you would do. That's what a normal father would do.
Why would you put
your hot daughter onto an oil rig?
Why would you put your hot daughter on an oil rig with some of the most sex-starved men in the world? Guys that are at sea with other men.
Now, I understand that this is like... it's still... just jumping in there. Obviously, if these people were to do anything, they're rapists.
Mm-hmm.
It's not her fault.
Mm-hmm.
For everything. But it just seems like an insane thing to have her, because she's not even working.
No, she's doing nothing.
Just chilling on an oil rig in the middle of the sea.
So you can't tell me this is the first time she's pumped a rigger.
She's pumped a rigger.
There's no chance Michael Clark Duncan hasn't hammered Liv Tyler in this world, in this universe.
Corn out of his mouth instead of the stuff in the Green Mile.
But there's so many weird things. She starts talking about how she had one of the riggers had to talk her through when she first got her period. Right?
Oh, God, that's right. It was fucking...
So many weird lines. And then, bizarrely, at some point, Steve Buscemi just comes up and says, listen, Harry, just to let you know, as far as I was concerned, she was 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, what? Where?
And not only that, because you know it kind of hints that he's like a pedo.
Yeah.
Right? But there's a part like, how much of a pedo does he think he must have actually been that when the army arrived, he was like, they're for me. That's what I thought. Like, imagine an entire army arrives and you're like, well,
yeah,
that's me caught.
The military.
How much has he been actually pedoing it up on that?
The military didn't even turn up for glitter. Like, how bad is Buscemi?
The army turned up, yeah, and he went, this is for me.
Do you reckon Buscemi, because this is a second film where Buscemi's made out to be pretty much in every film, he's made out to be a bit of a creepy bastard. Yeah,
look at his face.
Aye, but there could be an argument in terms of film theories that his character in this then goes on to become his character in Con Air.
Yeah, that's right. It scans.
It's not because at the end of this, he goes mental in space. He gets space dementia.
Which
I don't think anyone knew was a thing.
And I don't think it's called space dementia.
It would be called
if they went, you might have lost it, dehydrated and got a bit fucking blood sugar goes down. He's got space dementia.
Yeah, space dementia suggests Steve Buscemi wandering about and saying to Bruce Willis, are you my son? Space dementia.
He forgot about Earth existed. This is home.
No, he just goes fucking mental in space and starts firing shit at stuff.
That was great. Also, why did they have guns? Big 50 cals.
Yeah, massive
what
guns.
What were they expecting?
Massive
guns,
exactly.
The weight alone?
I tell you what they're expecting. 2 years earlier, fucking Independence Day. They're expecting Miley. That's what they're expecting.
By the way, on the oil rig, I don't know if you noticed this. There was a big sign on the oil rig saying, no cussing and no horseplay.
Horseplay?
There was no cussing and no horseplay on a sign subtly on the oil rig. When he's running around shooting her, and he walks, I think they're chatting to the investors. I think it's just when they calm down and they're outside again. But there's a little sign that said, no cussing, no horseplay.
Amazing.
No horseplay on the rig.
Aye. You can all shag live. But aye. No horseplay.
Live and let live.
Aye, and then, so he, after he's tried to shoot Ben Affleck, then there's a thing where, does the rig not fucking nearly burn down or something? And they have to turn off like a big tap.
Oh, aye, and all covered in oil.
And then he says, when most people screw up, nothing happens. When we screw up, people die. And then he says, you're fired.
That's actually just so untrue of most jobs.
Yeah.
Like doctors.
Yeah, yeah. Quite a lot of people, if they fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
People would...
Yeah, if I fuck up, I die.
That's true, yeah.
On stage.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Do you know what? That's a fair point. And then NASA come to pick up Bruce Willis because they've got a plan to deal with this.
Yes.
And the plan is... Initially, this is where I'll give Michael Bay a bit of a break. The initial plan is that the astronauts are going to be taught how to drill, and they just bring Bruce Willis in to teach them how to use, because they've used his design on this space drill.
Yes.
So they're initially just going teach these lads how to do this.
Yeah.
And then he makes drilling. He makes pointing a pointy thing at rock and pushing it through it sound like fucking the Enigma code.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, see, the thing is, it's not just about the drilling. And he basically just says there is no one on Earth that can operate a drill apart from me and my guys. Nobody. It's that complicated.
Well, we should have got a better drill then.
Yeah.
If only you can use the thing that you've invented.
It's fucking, and is there no other drill bits?
And do you know what the worst part about this is? When they explain that to him, remember they explained to him like the drill bits, and he just goes, 6 billion people on Earth, and why you come to me? And I was just like, he just explained.
Drills. Yeah.
The fucking drills.
Yeah, that's why. And also, you've just made the argument over why it's just you, 6 billion people. You've just said, I'm the only cunt in 6 billion people that can do this. So. You're protesting a wee bit too much here, Bruce.
I do think one of the greatest movie quotes did come after it, which was one of the Secretary of State's that said... Do you have the exact quote?
I know what you're saying.
The fate of the world rests on these retards who I wouldn't trust with a potato gun. He wrote that down, went in a billion dollar film or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Oh, I hope that was in the script. I hope that wasn't that needs to be a Michael Bay proper.
That would be,
yes.
Yeah. I reckon that's the first thing he wrote, and he wrote the movie around it.
Yeah. Not even a... the initial script wasn't even, it was just the entire fate of the world resting the shoulders of these idiots. Retards. I want retards.
Have you seen Ben Affleck giving out in
the director's commentary?
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
What did he say? I was just trying to find it, but he says something like, he's like,
he asked Michael Bay why it wouldn't be just easier to teach astronauts how to drill, and then Michael Bay just told him to shut the fuck up.
I paid for your teeth. Shut the fuck up. I'll knock him back out.
Exactly. You won't be able to ask any questions after that.
I'll give you those teeth. I can take them away just as quick.
But so Bruce Willis says that he's the only guy, but he needs his guys.
Right.
He's not going to do it with these astronauts.
I need a pedo.
I need a pedo. I need a gambling addict.
Yeah.
I need a cowboy for some fucking reason.
Just a cowboy.
Because when they try and catch Owen Wilson, he's being chased on a horse.
What? All these
by U.S. Marshals.
All these people are running away.
Yeah.
From the law.
Michael Clark Duncan is on a motorbike.
Aye.
The way they try and stop him is they park two police cars with a motorcycle sized gap between them.
Yeah,
like, not one of those stinger things to burst his tires. No, just.
They've evaded us. I don't know how we've never caught a single assailant ever.
And then Harry Stamper, Bruce Willis's number two, he's gambling his shit away at Caesars.
Yeah.
To find Brute Buscemi, like that, just try every bar, and just every bar in LA. Don't go to his house. Don't go to any hotel he might have checked into. Just every bar. Might take you a while. Every bar.
Every single one. All 4,000.
He'll be in there trying to scam some woman into bed.
Yeah. Oh, God, he was... Oh. And you know that thing as well? They let them out before they go on a, you know, this is the end. My boys aren't going to do any more training. They need, you know, this could be the last whatever. So that's what that would be what we would do.
Yeah.
Do one more gig.
Oh, yeah.
Do Rotunda and die.
I totally understand that.
Back up. Yeah. Like, well.
I totally understand that they need a night off.
Yeah.
So naturally they go to the strippers.
Yeah.
And Buscemi, by this point, has... asked a loan shark for
that's
300 grand and then blows it all that one night at the strippers.
300 grand at the strippers.
And the markup is 60%.
That fucking markup.
How the fuck are you paying this back, Buscemi?
300 grand.
I think it's... I can't even remember.
If you had 300 grand in the strippers, your thighs would be bleeding from the rashes.
Yeah. I reckon if 300 grand in the stripper, you get to take home a... you own a stripper now.
Yeah.
It's like, you go to... if you go to the strippers with 300 grand, it's like when you go and pick a lobster to eat. You just line them all up and you go... that one, and you go, right, that's now your stripper. Yeah,
that's your stripper.
You get to keep her.
Candy's coming with you.
Yeah, you get to keep her for the rest of your life. But when they gather them all up, so fucking Owen Wilson's riding, he's gambling, Buscemi's sleazing. Affleck, right? So this is what I mean. The timeline is just all over the shit because the asteroid comes. They go, right, we've got 18 days to stop this. So add another day to go and get Bruce Willis, right? Say another day to transfer him back, explain all the shit.
Yeah.
Then Willis says, right, you need to go and get all my guys, right? So they go out and do that. So we're three days since
at least
Affleck's been shot at, right? When he meets up with Affleck again, Affleck has managed in 3 days to set up his own drilling company. Like, what? He's been fired.
I heard that.
He now owns a drilling company.
That's right, they go collect him and he's already out somewhere else.
What?
Out in El Paso.
But it's the fact he's not even just helping his pal. He owns the fucking company.
I never thought of
and
that.
Quickly can you set up a drilling company? Like, what?
That's great. And they're talking as well, like, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, it's Tuesday. It's Thursday now. Fuck, you've went on quick. Can I talk you out of this job? I could only have just started that job.
It's incredible. I like all the training of them. I like that. I like the scenes of them training them in the underwater shit, and then training them how to be astronauts and stuff. Because I forgot.
I thought you were going to mention the fact that they give them Rubik's cubes.
Oh yeah. Oh, the psychological tests.
All right. Do a Rubik's cube.
Yeah. That. Aye. So Buscemi does a Rubik's cube, no bother. And then Michael Clark Duncan starts crying. Why is the room that they are getting the psychological evaluation the same room you would put someone with the most severe psychological...
That's it.
Yeah. It's a soundproofed...
Yeah.
...cushioned room.
Yeah. You go mad in there anyway. Yeah. Kind of question you. Yeah.
Like, that's where you would put Jeffrey Dahmer. That room.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to question them.
Yeah.
And then they're giving them the Rorschach test, and Buscemi's like that. So women with big breasts. So women with normal-sized breasts. He's just horny all the fucking...
So he's the horny guy.
It's the easiest horny guy we've ever had.
Yeah, he's the horny guy, yeah.
But then what I love about that the psychological evaluations is Billy Bob Thornton, who's leading the mission, comes to the psychologist, and the psychologist like that, they've not passed one single thing. Like, these are the least equipped men I would ever send up to space. These people will go mad. They'll probably detonate the nuke before they even get there. They'll kill each other. They'll fucking crash land the shuttle into a city or something. You cannot send the... They'll fucking cannibalize each other. These are the least suitable. And then he goes, are they fit enough to do it? And he went, well, why the fuck, if all it requires is, are they fit enough to do it? Why did that go through the rigmarole of wasted talking to so these much, psychopaths?
So much time wasted.
Like, you're not listening to so a word much. I say.
Also, can I just say, why not just, you know, like, why does it have to be astronauts and or drillers? Just and.
Well, it is. See, this is
well,
why.
Well, there is. There's one, isn't there?
No,
two.
There's a couple of astronauts.
Oh, they just... That's right.
So, William Fichtner, who's...
Yes, that's
who's
what I was thinking.
In loads of cool things.
William Fichtner is the guy, the forgotten guy in all massive blockbusters. Oh, guy I mean, must have the greatest, like...
And he's in Prison
IMDb.
Break as well.
I never thought of that. And he's in the greatest film of all time, The Longest Yard, the remake.
Yes, yes. And he's arguably in the greatest opening scene of a film ever
yeah,
in The
right,
Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's in a lot of good shit.
Yeah.
So he's an astronaut. Yeah. And then he's got a co-astronaut who's the female astronaut. She's there. And then there's the entire other shuttle that crashes at the start. There's a couple of astronauts on that. So I always thought...
That's right. I didn't say that.
I always thought it was just drillers getting sent up as astronauts. But it is astronauts and drillers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes it a tiny...
Bit, again, a little bit more of a Fred for Michael Bay.
Tiny bit more plausible.
Yeah, yeah. I just said, why did not and? And then I went, oh, no, they did.
Yeah.
They just didn't even chat to them. You knew they were going to die because there was like three of them that they didn't even say hello to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, just yeah, like, yeah. 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 I was surprised at how quickly... I forgot how quickly Owen Wilson died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He dies fairly early on.
How did he die again?
He dies in that... Does he not die in that initial crash? Does he not get sucked away into the
atmosphere? Oh, I think so. Something like that.
And when they're docking, does he not get...
Oh, is that the one in Houston? We have soft dock.
Yeah. Houston, it's cold. It's cold in space.
I feel like they've never seen what it... I feel like I know nothing to back this up, but that meteor looks nothing like a meteor. There's no way a meteor looks like that.
Yeah. It's really...
Can you land on a meteor? I don't think so.
I don't get where they land because it's all jaggy.
Aye. It was all jaggy and there was fucking... Yeah.
And if this thing's the size of Texas...
And they were like, it's icy as well. They're like, oh.
Aye.
Icy and thing. And the size of Texas, yeah.
It's the size of Texas. So Affleck and... Because they're landing at different bits so that they can put a meteor at a different
point.
So surely, if it's the size of Texas, they're at one end of Texas, Affleck's crew, and Willis's crew is at the other end of Texas. I don't know how... I don't know how big Texas is, but I'm imagining to drive across Texas.
It's bigger than Ireland.
Right. So how long would it take to drive across Ireland?
Like 6 hours, maybe?
Six hours.
Tip to the top, yeah.
That fucking Affleck.
Yeah, Affleck does it
in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's fair play to him too, and a thing goes 20 miles an hour.
And I mean,
max.
To be fair to him, he does fly quite a lot of the time. he does fly a lot of the journey.
What a ridiculous film. When I'm just when I'm talking about it, I'm like, that's right, I forgot he flies on the spaceship to get there quicker. And just at the moment, he comes around the thing, and they're like, yeah.
So who all dies? He died. So Owen Wilson dies.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis dies.
Yeah, Bruce Willis sacrificed himself. I would think it would be funny if he pretended he was going to and then he chucks him in the last thing. He fucked my daughter. Send her. No!
Destroyed the entire world. So did he? Is that the only two of the drillers that die?
Let me see. Buscemi survives.
Buscemi survives. Michael Clark Duncan survives.
Survives.
Affleck,
what about
obviously.
That other wee dude? The wee fucking ratty dude? Old
the big fella doesn't die. The big fella dies.
Yes.
He gets blown up by the big gun.
Yes. 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 Yes.
The big massive dude. Aye.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah,
dies.
That's right. That was funny.
Aye. Who's the other guy? Is there another one?
Another little kind of Weasley dude? Not like an older guy. Older.
Oh, no, but the, like... Bruce Willis's best pal, the gambling dude. No, he survives. He survives too. I tell you how we know. I know he survives, right? Because before they go up and they're having, so when he says, right, we need, these guys need some downtime before they go up to space, most of them go to the strip bar.
Yes.
Willis, I can't remember what Willis does. I think he just fucks about. I think he just
sits with.
Aye. Affleck and Liv Tyler have their awkward scene. That guy, Will Patton, who it is, his name Chick or Chuck or something.
Something like that.
He goes to visit his ex-wife.
That's right, yes.
Right? So obviously he's gambled away the entire family fortune.
Oh, that was good. I like that.
Aye. So he's got a kid.
Yeah.
And then the kid comes out and then she's like, oh, what the fuck are you doing here? You know you've got a he's already got a restraining order.
Don't need restraining orders where I'm going, boy.
And they go back in and the kid says, who was that? And she was, oh, it was just a salesman.
You sold fuck all, mum.
She changes her fucking tune as soon as he becomes a hero. Because then they're in telly and she goes, that man wasn't a salesman. That man's your father.
Was your fascia.
And then you go, you've just lost all principles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you're wanting to fucking ride the hero dick.
Forget
his past misdemeanors. Now you're on the fucking gravy train with the hero.
You only have one kid. You used to have three because of him.
Aye.
Now you see him on a fucking... now you see him on a TV.
Just a baby sitting on hard eight on a craps table. A good feeling. Come on, Lady Luck.
He lost two kids.
Snake eyes.
He lost the other one in Russian roulette.
They just, you know, that snake eyes. That wee scooper thing that dealers have. Yeah, yeah. They just scoop the baby up with the chips.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it down that slot.
Down in the little fucking little tube. Zoom.
She turns
very quickly again. Aye. Every character is the shallowest thing.
Oh fuck!
They only have one attribute, and that attribute is everything about them.
Yes.
That's what he does in all his films.
Absolutely.
So this guy's the rapist. All he'll talk about is rape.
Yeah.
This guy's a drinker.
Yes.
Everything he ever does involves you can't trust me. I'm drinking.
He's a gambler.
Yeah, he's a gambler.
Bruce Willis a driller.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing. It doesn't involve drilling with that kid.
Yeah. It's only drilling and his daughter.
Yeah. So the scene where Affleck and Liv Tyler are outside beside the BMW and it's honestly the most bizarre fucking... So she's lying there basically with one button done.
Yeah.
So her jebs are nearly out. Her entire midriff is out.
This is the Serengeti shit.
Yes.
Yes.
He's got animal crackers, which I think we don't call them animal... There's a wee thing. Did you ever eat the wee chocolate jungle animals?
No, animal so bars.
Biscuits on one side.
Oh, yes.
Chocolate
I know what you're talking
on
about.
The other. Yeah, and it was like an elephant and a giraffe monkey. And a hippo and all that. Yeah. So I'm assuming that's kind of our thing. I don't know what animal crackers are. But so he's got some kind of... Has he got like a gazelle or something?
Yeah.
And he's putting it across her stomach. And he's doing this weird Australian Steve Irwin type...
Yeah.
Which you go, well, that's not factual because Steve Irwin obviously...
Yes.
Aquatic-based beasts.
Yeah, he didn't talk about
it. No. If he'd have done an Attenborough impression...
That would have made more sense. Easy Harriet.
Yeah.
Second time he's come.
Yeah. And then, so he's going, he's like, so the gazelle is going along the plains of Africa and then enters the forest of... And you're like... So now he's just playing this gazelle through our pubic hair. He goes, what? He actually says, so now it enters the jungle. And you're like, is he going to shove an animal cracker up her in a minute?
That's so funny. That's what he did before he went to space, shove an animal cracker up
the gazelle girlfriend. Finds a cave.
Is that that's not the one where as well where Bruce Willis just watches them half plow for a bit?
Yes, oh yeah.
Is that the same?
No, part? No, that's is that not when they're up in the
yeah, they're right up in the cylindrical
the engine of the right. There's a lot of weird father daughter.
He just stares at her for way too long.
Cuz she says Affleck, do you think there's anyone else in the world doing exactly what we're doing right now? And you go, if ever I could confidently say no to a question, it's that question. Is there anyone else that is discussing? Right. Is there anyone else doing what we're doing right now? What? You're asking, is there anyone else discussing the guy who's a driller who is about to go up and stick a warhead inside an astronaut, but before he's doing that, he's about to shove an animal cracker up his fiancé's minge? I am fairly certain no one else. If there is one other person doing that right now,
that would be so funny.
Then my God.
Imagine you're like, six. Party six. That's so funny.
There's some guy in court going, sure now. Yeah. The sheep goes across. oh my God.
Do you know what I find very funny? Up in space, first of all, you know when everything starts going wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I love that secondary protocol was just a gun in an envelope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always that.
Yeah. Was a gun there that they would just... Because secondary protocol is surely... What is the secondary?
Secondary protocol is why they just blow up the fucking thing anyway.
And is that...
I hope that it's just miss... Like, no, they just wanted to set the nuke at it on the surface, was it? And just fucking see.
But then surely, I mean, that would do fuck all.
It did. That's what the whole Billy Bob was like. You're just going to kill everyone.
Yeah.
No, but this will do literally nothing.
Yeah. And would they all die? Yeah. Or would they
all die as well up there.
They would all die.
Yeah.
I thought they could get away because they're...
No, they did get away, I suppose, yeah.
Aye, because that's what... Because that's another bit that... So when Bruce Willis says, like, somebody needs to stay because there's something wrong with the detonation thing. So someone needs to stay and detonate it at an exact point because they need to detonate it before it gets to a certain point or it won't have enough time to blow it apart.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I reckon... I've not looked into the scientific basis of this, but I reckon that plan is horse shit.
Yes, yes, I reckon detonating a nuclear bomb in our stratosphere first alone would be...
I don't think it would do anything to the asteroid.
Nah, probably not. Just make it into two clumps.
Yeah.
To completely at wipe best. Out. Maybe worse, because there'd be two points of contact at both sides of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got to stay behind, and then he sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
And he becomes the hero. But then at the end, Fichtner comes up and salutes Liv Tyler. And he goes, permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the bravest man I've ever met in my life. And you go, 15 minutes ago, you were going to shoot this fucker.
yeah. You're secondary protocol.
Like you were literally about to shoot this man.
You're about to nuke everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember as well, he also forgot. He tried to disarm a nuke and he forgot what the colour of the last wire was. But of all the one thing, oh, wait a minute, you won't believe this, lads, but I've completely fucked this. Blue or red? The one thing, I forgot the fucking nut.
You would think, with the amount of bombs that have been diffused in films, they're always coming down to a blue or red wire.
Yeah, yeah.
You would think that bomb makers would get together and go, let's make it always the red one.
Yes.
Like, it's like let's not have any confusion here. It's always going to be fucking red.
Yeah.
Right? Blue, fine. Right? If you want it to go off blue, red, that's to stop it. Right?
Yeah.
Let's just say that right now.
Yeah. We'll not have this issue again.
So we never have this Bell Gibson never has to worry about this when it's under a toilet.
Yeah.
Bond never has to worry about this every single... It's always the blue. It's always the red one. Always cut the red one.
And we should lose timers. It's never worked. Yeah. It's never worked properly. Yeah. Just have a detonator when it's time, push it.
We also need to get some of these. We also need to get a new timer supplier because a lot of these time perfectly until it gets to the last minute. And then for some reason, every second is times so by 10.
Time's different in space. Trying to do an interstellar. That's a he forgot the fucking wire. It was hilarious. The worst type of space dementia. Yeah. Nobody, yeah, look, I've just written, because you've already brought this, when the meteor hits Paris and everybody's on the street.
Oh, yeah.
And having a laugh.
Yeah.
Isn't there a wee bit first again, happens again? Or is that from the original part?
I can't remember.
Maybe a little bit. Anyway, but nobody told the French, because they were, nobody was, everybody's just having a drink.
This is what I don't get. This is, they don't warn anyone.
Yeah,
about
yeah.
the fact that there's, the attack in New York happens.
Yeah, yeah.
No one ever mentions it again. Because, listen, see if suddenly, out of the blue one day, massive projectiles, because they don't know that they're rocks. All they're seeing is something. So you're either going, right, this is either a natural disaster, aliens, or a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Right? Either way, of any of those three scenarios, mass panic is happening.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Life doesn't go back to normal. Right? That's a year long... Sorry, I just slavered.
Slavered.
That's a year-long panic.
Yeah.
You'd certainly then, if you know that there is a massive asteroid coming, there's likely to be more comet showers, you should at the very least warn other world leaders.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's quite remiss of you to keep that to yourself.
You knew this and we've just lost Paris.
Exactly. I mean, this is fucking Mayor, this is Mayor and Jaws shit here.
You
knew this would happen.
And you just...
You knew there was an asteroid out there.
You could have just evacuated.
And you still let my boy swim. Like that, literally.
I feel like they could... They had enough time. If they had 18 days as well in this happened, they would also have enough time for that little small ones to know where they're going. They could have evacuated Paris, basically.
Yeah.
And went, there's a good chance this is going to happen in the next 20 days, you know.
Yeah. Just evacuate everywhere with a very, very recognisable landmark.
Yeah, that's it. That's
literally, it. Just move everywhere where there's fuck all.
Grey fires Bobby.
Yeah.
Comet hit Grey. It's so small. Just pinged it.
A tiny wee thing. Ting.
Took his head off just. Oh, no.
Oh.
I love the fact, right? So, Barr, do you know when he was sitting there chatting to Bruce Willis, is chatting to Ben Affleck when he's about to kill himself or sacrifice himself, you know? Because Ben Affleck draws the short straw, wasn't it? But basically, they switch him around. It's so funny that.
God damn you, Harry, you son of a bitch!
You son of a bitch, Harry! And he's like, I always thought of you as a son. Imagine if he just got that all wrong. Ben Affleck is like, I always thought of you as a son. He's like, Harry, I swear it's not incense. Incense. I swear it's not incest. Incense.
Oh,
that's
God.
Not what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
Ben, I don't even know Ben Affleck. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm sacrificing myself in here for you,
that,
so you can live on. Stay away from my daughter.
There's that scene where Bruce Willis says goodbye to Liv Tyler.
Oh, God.
I was reading that. Got Bruce Willis got really pissed off about this. Apparently, in the test screenings. Audiences just started pissing themselves laughing.
Oh, great.
And he was genuinely angry. Because I think he's since come out, and Bruce Willis, most people in this have gone, look, I did this for the money. Like, this was a high payday from Disney. So
yeah.
I did this. But Bruce Willis at the time was genuinely angry because he's like, this is the end of the world and you people are laughing. And
he seems like a real serious fucker.
What's fucking bizarre about that, right, is beforehand, NASA haven't been able to get in touch with them at all.
Yes, right? Yeah.
Any conversation they have had is crackly. It's like old videotapes. There's lines coming down.
Yeah,
it keeps going to snow and all this kind of shit. Apart from when one dude suddenly bounces a signal off another satellite, an old Soviet satellite, suddenly... Fucking HD quality.
Yeah.
For Bruce Willis to say goodbye to Liv Tyler. Yeah, like, literally, you couldn't, like, it's fucking 4K. You can see the pores in the man's face for that bit.
That's great. I never even thought of that. Do you know what? Everything in it just seems like a plot hole.
Oh, none of it makes any sense.
It's just purely face value. You can't even, like, just all the characters are stupid. Everything. The timeline one's very good. I never even fucking thought it was only 18 days. But
18?
Between the things, so he had his own drill.
And also 18 days, there is not a chance you're able to put together a space mission in 18 days.
Not a hope and shit.
Like, I don't work for NASA, but I'm fairly certain that's quite a complicated thing.
Yeah.
You need to make sure there's a certain type of weather to launch it.
Yeah.
You need to fuel the fucking thing. You need to put it all together. Yeah, it's not just sitting there waiting. You need to get these drills on board. You need to, not even, you need to liaise with the fucking International Space Station. That guy, the fucking mental Russian.
Peter Stormare. Yeah. He's always such stupid characters, that guy.
Entire answer is just to rattle shit with a wrench.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Peter Stormare.
Last thing I want to talk about is Aerosmith.
Okay.
Right, because I love Aerosmith, right? I love Aerosmith as a band, and I've only ever seen them once. They were always a band I really wanted to see, and they headlined the Download Festival one year that I was at, and it's a Sunday night, and it was, I didn't know, and I didn't look at the set list, I didn't know if they would do I Don't Want to Miss a Thing live.
Yeah, because I get that. Yeah.
I was like, this is going to go against pretty much the rest of the set. Because the rest of the set is going to be 70s Aerosmith guitar themes, Sweet Emotion, Walk This Way, all that kind of shit, right? So it's gonna look out of place. They fucking did it, and I fucking sang my heart out to it. It was genuinely... Did they play it last? I think they played it last, but then came back on to do Sweet Emotion as... the encore.
Oh, great.
But my God, the crowd were in bits.
Great. Like,
it was awesome. And also, there's a weird thing here, because when Affleck's slowly maneuvering the animal cracker gazelle to her fanny, Aerosmith's playing. So that's her dad.
Oh, right? No.
So
no.
You don't just have the fact that Willis is watching his daughter get banged by Affleck. You've got the soundtrack to Affleck banging the daughter in real life by her real life dad.
My God.
Because there's always been... Have you ever seen the... Is it Crazy? I think the song's Crazy. And the video has got Liv Tyler and Alicia Silverstone in it. But basically, both of them are made up to be absolute fucking sex pots. In this video.
Jesus
so Christ. At some point, Steven Tyler has signed off on this.
And
he goes, I think they are actual lap dancers in it. Or they do a lap dance in the video. And you're going...
What are you doing?
This is your fucking daughter, man. Like, this is bizarre.
That's such a bizarre... Basically, Armageddon, Bruce Willis is the father she should have had.
Yes.
No, actually, that's not true.
Not him either.
Brought him with the oil rig.
The father she should have had is Michael Clarke Duncan. That's the only father figure for her in this entire film. He's the only guy without any real scruples.
Yeah. Just a big dude.
See, last question before we finish. When they do their list of demands, so they say, right, the guys are all in.
Texas.
But they've got a certain... grist of demands. Owen Wilson wants a shitload of parking fines. He's got like 100 or something parking fines. Yeah. He wants them all wiped. Someone wants cassette tapes brought back. They want to know who killed Kennedy and they won't tell them.
Yeah.
And then they go, none of them want to pay taxes ever again. Right? If you were one of the drillers, what would your one demand be?
I would want a virtual insanity Jamiroquai floor in my house.
Yes!
So I could water in
there. That is absolute class.
Go to the fridge, like, you know.
That is absolute.
That's what I would ask for.
That's brilliant.
That and money.
That and money, yeah. I think they're already getting a shitload of money.
Yeah.
Because you get to make a demand and the taxes.
Yeah.
That you never pay again. Which is, that's a pretty penny as well. Because I imagine oil riggers, they're earning quite a bit.
Yeah.
So the taxes on that will be...
Yeah, they'll be substantial.
Yeah.
What would yours be?
Mine would be every single time I walk in my house, Saber from the new Gladiators is standing there and kicks the living shit out of me.
So she's got hired, like, it's a residency for her?
It's a weird job.
As she's sitting there in the kitchen with a cup of tea, and she hears the key in the door.
Grabs the Peugeot stick. Fuck you.
Just absolutely.
You piece of shit.
Clobbers Amy coming in the door. Sorry if I was married.
You fat racist piece of shit.
Fat racist.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Watch Armageddon. It's a fucking laugh. That's it's a laugh and a half.
It is a laugh and a half because it's pure enjoyment. It's so stupid. But it's fucking long as well.
It's very long.
I didn't remember it being that long.
It's about 3 hours long.
I was sitting there going like, I don't remember Armageddon being this long. Talking about Killers of the Flower Moon now, and I was like, Armageddon was 3 hours long.
Right, what have we... Oh, he's going to grab the DV. While Ryan's grabbing that, I'll give all the wee plugs. If you could give us, as I always say every week, if you could give us reviews, even if you just click 5 stars... on Apple podcast, it really does help push us up and get seen by more people. Tell more people if they like films, or even if they don't like films, if they like the two of us, or if they like any of the other podcast people that we are often seen hanging around.
Yes, yes.
In exactly. This little subgroup of...
Yeah, comedy.
Like, yes, the British Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura,
yeah.
Rogan, not Shane British, Gillis... Not British.
Not for me.
Not British. Although Ryan will be performing in the Best of British.
I'm not doing the Best
in Adelaide
of British
Festival yet. For the next.
I'm doing the Best of Edinburgh. Not there is a British one, but my poster does have a goddamn Union Jack. As you know, outside because the Six Nations is on today, the pub outside my house has got 4 flags on it and they've put them up all wrong.
Oh, really?
Only Scotland's is upright. So it's Scotland, then it's Ivory Coast, which is Ireland. It's wrong words, right? Then they have Italy the wrong way, so it's like Hungary.
Right, yeah. Oh, for fuck's sake.
And then they have France this way, so it looks like it's the Netherlands. So it's like...
And is Wales the dragon just upside down?
No, there was no Welsh flag at all.
There's no Welsh flag. Did you see there was a pub that couldn't get a Welsh flag, and all they did was got a flag with the colours, and then just wrote dragon on it.
Great. Sunday and raisins.
Can I just say about the rugby that happened yesterday? The referee, Nick Berry, can go and fuck himself.
Yeah,
that was one of the biggest robberies I have ever seen in professional sport.
It was fucking outrageous. There was the TMO going, I know this will be 2 weeks gone by the time this, but the TMO going like, I just don't have, I'm not 100% sure, while just showing videos of it clearly.
Literally says, right, I'm showing you the ball on the ground there, and then I'm just going to rock it back and forward. Yep, that's it going on the ground. Yep. No, I can't say definitively, though. Fuck you. It's come off his shoe. Where else is it going to go else could you it possibly go?
You can see the literal hand. You can see that, ball can't even go.
Dick.
So it can't even be like, it's levitating for no reason. It's not. It's such
honestly, I hope that man's family die in a fire today.
He's Irish, is he?
Nick Berry? No, I thought he was Australian.
Oh, was he? Sorry, I thought there was an Irish guy in the team.
Right, various quick plugs. When this comes out, this will come out on Wednesday. If you are listening to this and you have nothing to do tonight and you are in Barnard Castle, then I will be there at the Witham. And then on the 22nd of February, Thursday 22nd, I'll be at the Wardrobe in Leeds. On Friday 23rd, one I'm really looking forward to, I'm at Hot Water in Liverpool, so that hopefully will be one of the best of the whole tour. On the Saturday, I am at the Forum in North Allerton, and on the Sunday, I am at the Lead Mill in Sheffield.
Yes!
So yeah, 21st to 25th of February, check out all the links.
I'll be in Australia.
Yeah, best pretty of British. Every
best
day.
Of the Edinburgh Fest.
The best of English gentlemen every single day.
Gentry. Right. So the next film is possibly a worse film.
Excellent.
It's different type of worse. It's just straight up bad. And I've already watched it.
Okay.
And it is Good Luck Chuck.
I've never seen this.
Well, look at the back.
Wow.
It is Dane Cook. And that guy, the other guy, Dane Cook's not even the least funny person in this film, which is actually possibly one of the hardest things you could ever.
Oh my God.
Read it.
Right. I was going to read this.
Because you should watch this one if you're looking at home.
In this fruity edition of the smash hip comedy, Chuck gets even luckier with scenes deemed too raunchy for cinema. Charlie is the luckiest and unluckiest guy in the world. Hexed by a crazy goth girl at a party when he was a teenager. He's cursed to never find love. A crazy goth girl.
Oh, that's exactly what the scene is.
Oh my God. And then there's just a big fat dude in a bikini.
Oh, you'll see all about it. Right. It is got to be.
I fucking hate Dane Cook.
Oh, with a passion.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is him and his worst. So unfunny. This guy is made so unfunny.
Oh, Jesus. They've got to make. So.
And do you know how shallow this movie is? And we'll get into this, obviously, at the episode. Jessica Alba, unbelievably hotness. Mm-hmm. But the only way they make her feel like she's got a personality is to make her clumsy.
Oh,
do you know one of those things like, ooh.
I'm assuming this fat dude fucks a grapefruit.
Yeah.
Because it says no grapefruits were harmed in the making of this movie. Yeah. Oh, no, it says grapefruit were harmed in the making of this movie.
Yeah.
So they've got that to let you know it's a sexy film. Then Big Dirty Laughs.
Yes.
Is the quote from James King at Radio 1. And then they've got, there's another sexy moment, which is Jessica Alba holding an ice cream, but it's as if it's a cock because the ice cream is dripping down her fingers like it's cum.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's...
Oh, and I didn't even notice that. There's Dane Cook standing there like the fucking joke thief he is, and there's a lady's head clearly sucking him off. So,
yeah,
clearly sucking the tiny bit of talent he has in his body out of it.
This is
amazing.
You will hate him so much more.
Right.
Good luck, Chuck.
Good luck, Chuck, and good luck to all of you out there for the rest of the week. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.